Results that approves from the action. His action is approached with tremendous love and inspiration and for the welfare of the community, the entire world. He does it with firmness or conviction, and therefore there is tremendous enthusiasm. It is done for the love of action itself, with no eye on the result. Unaffected by success and failure is called Samvita. He is absolutely unaffected by success or failure. When failure comes, he learns from it. When success comes, he doesn't allow it to get into his head. He maintains the balance and continues. That is Sattvic actor. Rajasic actor is absolutely desirous, passionate. He is functioning to fulfill his desires, full of attachment to the fruit of action. Tremendously attached, desirous of fruit of action. And he's greedy, meaning how much ever he gets, he's not satisfied. He craves for more and more, and cruel to himself and to the world. Absolutely impure thoughts, selfishness, that's what it means. Full of mental agitations as a result of selfishness. And obviously he is moved by joy or sorrow. Joy comes, he gets excited. Sorrow comes, he gets rejected. Such a person is called Rajas. Who is a person who functions on likes and dislikes, only does action to fulfill the likes and dislikes. And then Tamasic actor, he is an actor who is not steadfast, who is not consistent. And vulgar, absolutely no culture whatsoever, in thought, word and deed. He stoops so low, that's what it means. His thoughts are so low, words are so low, deeds are also very low deeds he does. Unimaginable by a cultured person. So there is zero refinement whatsoever. Prakrita, he says. Prakrita is the word for it, vulgar. So we quoted Shakespeare's Othello, where Othello uses a certain word against his wife. And his wife, Desdemona, is so cultured, refined. She can't repeat that word. But she's asking Iago, am I that name? Am I that name, Iago? And he says, what name? She can repeat it. And Iago's wife, Emilia, she's there, and she says, he said this word. So it shows that once you reach a certain level of refinement, you can't fall too low. A tamasic person's intellect is absolutely zero, completely in a state of coma. Yes. So you can use any, you can go to any level.
In the paper, there was a recent survey that if you utter out all the bad words that are happening in your mind or whatever it was, then all your frustrations, anger, everything doesn't sit inside you, and so you actually do not have any hatred or any selfish thoughts left whilst you're performing an act.
That's not true. It's temporary relief, maybe. It's all temporary what you're talking about.
But you also do it and you find it
a bit
space. I mean,
when
you
talk to
anger, you find
it. No, that's a different thing, private or public. What I'm saying is, it's like people saying, you know, you have an addiction for, you have a tremendous desire for alcohol. Just don't keep drinking, you will get out of it. A lot of people temporarily get out of it. They get back to it much more. You don't get out of it, you temporarily, like, you know, one of the techniques they talk about when you are in anger, they say you better go and punching bags or throw things, or even if you have to vent out your anger, you do it, they say. Now you will feel better. These are not temporary measures, they are not anything permanent. We are not talking about suppression either, we are talking about sublimation. So here is nothing but a vulgar person who can go to any level. Tamasic actor and extremely lazy and malicious. Zero action. Procrastination is his typical trait. Tamasic actor. as much as possible, he'll not do the action only. If there's a possibility of getting it without doing it, he'll do it. People want to get benefit without having contributed. A tamasic actor looks like that. He looks in that direction. I'm extremely disappointed. And he says, deceptive also. To attain one's selfish end, he is very deceptive. He may be saying something, but he may be meaning something else. See, a lot of people, like I said, in Islam, they use the word inshallah. It's a beautiful word. You know, God willing. But unfortunately, I've come across few people who do not want to meet you. Supposing you say like, okay, let's meet day after tomorrow. And they say, okay, you know, let's meet. But in Islam, they say inshallah. Inshallah means? God willing. Honestly speaking, God willing. We don't, I am planning to meet you. God only knows what will happen. You know, that sense. But there are people who do not want to meet you. They say inshallah. So, you understand? So, it's normally used. It's not, you know you do not want to meet. So in other religion also, they don't use this word, but but there is no intention to meet you. You understand? Absolutely Tamil. No, they're not straight. They're not straightforward at all. So all this he said is tamasic actor. From now we'll be seeing intellect, steadfastness, and happiness. Intellect, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Intellect, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, steadfastness, and sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, happiness. And with that, the complete personality chart ends. So let's chant verse 29. Buddhe vedam kruteshchaiva, buddhe vedam kruteshchaiva, gunatastrividam shrunu, gunatastrividam shrunu, prochya manam sheshena, pritakvena dhananjaya, pritakvena dhananjaya, buddhe vedam kruteshchaiva, gunatastrividam shrunu, prochya manam sheshena, pritakvena dhananjaya. The threefold division of intellect and steadfastness according to gunas. Gunas means the sattvic, rajasic, tamasic qualities, gunas, related fully and distinctly. Do listen, O Dhananjaya. So, when you do any action, it is the intellect that pitches up the goal, sets the direction, and sets the direction means gives the goal to the mind and sets a direction to the mind. And it is the intellect, having fixed the goal, needs to propel you to be consistent in that field. It's one thing to pitch up a goal, another is to be consistent in that path. Isn't it? Consistency is very, very important aspect of success in life. There are three C's of success that Swamiji talks about. Concentration, consistency, and cooperative endeavor.
And?
Cooperative endeavor. So, cooperation. You need to have concentration, you need to have consistency, and you need to be handling your ego. And draw cooperation from others, because it's not possible to achieve success independently alone. Your efforts matter, and your efforts involve concentration and consistency. At the same time, you need to be in such a way that you draw others' cooperation as well. Otherwise, it's not possible to achieve success. So therefore, the intellect chooses the course of action, and you have to be consistently maintaining action in that in the path. Otherwise, it's not possible to achieve. So therefore, this intellect of buddhi and steadfastness of vritti are both an extremely important, integral part of any action. In fact, both are concentration and consistency both are intellectual disciplines. When your intellect keeps your mind in the present action, not allowing it to slip into past worries and future anxiety, it is called concentration. When your intellect keeps your mind in the present action, without allowing it to slip into past worries and future anxieties, it is concentration. When your intellect keeps all your actions in the chosen direction, in the chosen direction of the goal, it is consistency. So when your intellect keeps all your actions in the chosen direction of your goal, it is consistent. So it's not enough being consistent with reference to one action. You've got to be consistent with reference to all your action. You understand? So therefore he says, Buddhi and Dhriti I'll talk about next. And Dhriti is also an intellectual discipline. If you have sattvic intellect, you'll have sattvic dhriti. If you have tamasic intellect, you'll have tamasic dhriti. Similarly, rajasic, rajasic. So, it's a very, very important aspect of action. A lot of people start, but they don't follow consistently. You understand? Till you reach the end, you've got to be at it very consistently. That's very important. So your mind takes over slowly. You know, initially when something happens and the doctor says, well, Baba, you need to be operated, and you go through the surgery and you are very aware that time because you've just gone through the surgery and you've come out. So they say, oh, you better follow these exercises, these food habits and this lifestyle, you know, all that. You are like, oh doctor, you don't have to tell me, I will definitely follow all that. After a few months, slowly mind comes and says, yeah, this is such a boring thing, you know. So mind starts playing havoc. So you got to keep your intellect alert. It's not easy. One of my uncle who used to smoke 70 cigarettes a day, and he got heart attack when he was 67. I think he died after 3 to 4 years. The first heart attack he got at the age of 67. And doctor said, we are only seeing smoke, there. There's nothing else inside. So you better stop, not even one cigarette. So he said, oh, you don't have to tell me because he just went through all the procedure. Simply, I will not tell you. You also don't talk to me about it. I don't even want to talk about it. So he stopped. For a few months he stopped. Almost a year. Then slowly morning walk he goes, and when he comes back, one cigarette he has smoked. Slowly it started. Then it came back to around 10 a day. Then again another heart issue happened. Again he gave up. Again it's very difficult to be consistent. Taking up is easy. But to be consistent at it is not easy.
What is the method?
Strengthen the intellect.
If you know it's correct, you know it, and you feel good when you do it. But
it's the strengthening of the intellect that's important. And the two things we say, right? One is, early hours of the day, use it to develop the intellect. And to develop the intellect, question everything, don't accept anything for granted. Gain the knowledge, focused study, reflection, early hours of the day. Of course, it goes without saying all your other disciplines. And before going to bed every night, do introspection of the day. Introspect the day's activities without analyzing or criticizing. When you do that, whatever amount of intellect you have, whatever strength of intellect you have, that intellect is made available.
No problem is the day when you go to TV, you go to work, you go to work, you come back to do your work.
You feel your life is so boring. You just get up, walk, go to work, come back, walk, go to sleep. You feel, I feel that. I want to go out. Yesterday I went out, I found that only very boring. I felt I should have come back home only.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So I'm very confused in that. I know it's good for my health, but I do want to go out also.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your mind is strong. Your intellect is not strong. Your intellect is weak. You are not doing anything to develop your intellect, and you are not making intellect available during the action. You are either doing the action mechanically. Your mind is wandered away. You're just mechanically doing.
No, when I'm doing it.
Or you are getting involved. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You have to strengthen the intellect. Your mind is playing havoc. Once you strengthen the intellect, it will become better. And you have to make the intellect, whatever level of intellect you have, available during the action. You do these two. Slowly you will be taking care of. But it has to be done. The problem comes in being consistent in that itself. You know. So mind is too strong, what to do? Taking you all rest. It's not just you, everybody. Otherwise, you don't need any of this. Again, mind will take over. So, that is precisely why, when he talks about action, all that, he includes intellect and vritti. Because if you do not have intellect, your actions will be impulsive action. Mind by itself does not have direction or dimension. It can ask for the moon. It can go anywhere. What sets a direction to the mind? The intellect. Therefore, it talks about intellect. Then, being consistent in the action is an extremely important integral aspect of action. Therefore, he talks about that also. Next. Pravrittincha karyakarye bhayabhaye bandham moksham chaya veti buddhisapartha sattvihi pravrittincha nivrittincha karyakarye bhayabhaye bandham moksham chaya veti buddhisapartha sattvihi. Now he talks about sattvic intellect. The intellect which knows activity and renunciation, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means what activity that should be done, and nivritti means what activity should not be done. So the path of action and renunciation. Pravritti and nivritti, the intellect is clear when it is sattvic. And again he says, karya akarya. What is to be done, what ought not to be done. Karya akarya. And then, what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared. Fear and fearlessness. Bhaya, abhaya. Bandham, moksha. What is bondage, what is liberation. That partha is sattvic. Clarity of thought. Choice of action. Swadharma versus paradharma. Swadharma means one's own nature. Paradharma means alien nature. You should choose a field of activity that is according to your swadharma. Understand? So you know what is your swadharma, what is your paradharma. You choose your swadharma. That is one way of looking at pravritti and nivritti. What is to be given up? Nivritti. is your ego, egocentric desires. Ego is the attitude, not the action. Nothing is like this clear. Action is to be done. The egocentric desires and egoistic attitude is to be given up. Attachment, the fruit, is to be given up. I'm very clear about Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga. Pravritti Marga is Grahastashrama. Nivritti Marga is Sannyasashrama. You understand? A lot of people get confused after reading Vedanta. It's not the fault of Vedanta, it's the fault that comes in the person because he doesn't do proper reflection. See, Pravritti Marga means Grahastashrama Marga. You are in this world. And you are very much married, you have children, you have your duties and responsibilities. In this, you can't function like a sannyasi. Right? You should be clear as to what is Pravritti Marga and what is Nivritti Marga. You will be in the Grahastashrama, but you will behave like a sannyasi. You will be in the Sannyasashrama, but behave like a Grahastashrama. Now, be clear. What is the path? This is Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga. Very clear. Buddhi is clear. So therefore, as a Grahastha, I have responsibilities which I need to fulfill. So what I should give up is not the action, but the doership. Clarity is there. What ought to be done and what ought not to be done. Actions that increase your desires ought not to be done. Actions that help you to overcome, rise above the desires ought to be done. You understand? What ought to be done and what ought not to be done? But clarity. Many times confusion comes. Arjuna has that same problem, right? He got confusion. He was a very rajasic intellect in the beginning. So that's why he didn't know what is to be done and what ought not to be done. Pravritti and Nivritti Marga is completely infused. He is in Pravritti, Grahastashrama, but he wanted to be a sannyasi. Right? What ought to be done, what ought not to be done? Actions which help you to exhaust your vasanas. Karma Yoga has to be done. Actions should not be done out of likes and dislikes. Actions should be done out of obligation. You understand? Karyam akarya. We are not supposed to follow mind's impulses. We are supposed to follow intellect's conviction. So the choice of field and the choice of action within the field. The field of action should be according to your nature. But within the field, you can't act on your likeness. The field should be according to your like. But within the field, you can't act. Likes or dislikes dominate you. Got it? And then, bhayam and abhayam. In English they say, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We rush towards what is not benevolent to us, but we are afraid of what is benevolent to us. Many a times, the attractive things we rush. So, clarity, give up an action because it is not so entertaining to you. It's not so entertaining to you, though it is an obligation that you need to do. You don't fear giving it up. But a person who has clarity, he fears giving it up because he knows there's a consequence. And please understand that you have a choice with reference to action, but you have no choice with reference to the consequence. Our destiny is chiseled by us through our choices. Sigma choices is equal to our destiny. So, a sattvic intellect when you have, when you have clarity of thought, you do not want to postpone what is to be done now. Because you fear there is a consequence. You know that. And he clearly knows fear is the outcome of ego. And fearlessness is the quality of a person who's reached the self. Who's reached the self. See, fear comes when you are selfish, self-centered, destructive in nature, ignorant. Fearlessness comes when you are knowledgeable, when you are wise, when you are unselfish, there is no fear. When you know that you are living your life according to the laws of life, there is no fear. Adharmic person has fear, dharmic person has no fear. Earlier Dr. Sri Krishna said, no, yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manava shraddha anta hanasuyanta devi ruchyanti. So he says, whoever follows this teaching of mine, they are following the Dharma Chakra. Those who are not following, then they are going against the Dharma Chakra. So the fallout of that ought to be feared. When you are following the Dharma Chakra, there is nothing to fear. You have written the exam. You have done well. Why have you feared the result? There is nothing. Only a person who doesn't abide by the laws, who wants to establish his way, my way is my way, no? Not thy will be done. My way is done. Has to be my way. Then that person is the one who will face the consequence. So he has clarity, so he knows what is fear, what is fearlessness. A person who was not prepared for the exam, but is not afraid of the results, that's not fearlessness, that is foolishness. He is absolutely, he has no fear. He is being foolish. But here when he says fearlessness, because he is in the right track. So the results are not something that he is afraid of. Another problem in life is we have no fear when it comes to sense indulgence or mind indulgence. We fear discipline. We don't fear indiscipline. Sattvic intellect fears indiscipline. It doesn't fear discipline. Absolute clarity is there. Clearly distinguishes between what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared. Why? Because it thoroughly analyzes the consequences, and when the consequences are analyzed, the beneficial thing is understood. As a result, there is no fear. Then bandham and moksha. A sattvic intellect clearly understands what is bondage, what is liberation. What is bondage, what is liberation?
So that you have fear of anything, yeah. Then everything will come along with it. But you're dependent on things, people.
You have an attachment. Bondage is love and freedom is attachment. The other way around. Bondage is attachment and liberation.
So bondage is nothing but attachment and freedom is? Mental attachment. It's to do with mind. Mental bondage. No? A lot of us are mentally attached. We have tremendous identification with the body. Therefore, we are bound by whatever happens to the body. We are identified with the mind. So whatever happens to the mind happens to us. We are bound to the intellect. Whatever happens to us, happens to the intellect, happens to us. But if you are identified with the self, whatever happens to the body, mind, intellect doesn't bind you. You then act as an actor on the stage. Vasanas bind us, not the action. You remember we studied vasana, thought, desire, action. One of the two actions. It's not the action that binds you. It is the indiscriminate thought flow that binds you. So if you have clarity of thoughts, then the indiscriminate thought flow will not come. So you clearly understand what is bondage and what is freedom. Moksha. Moksha is absolutely zero dependence on the world. It is knowing about the world, the truth of the world, and not depending on it. We, out of lack of clarity, keep blaming the world. What Vedanta is saying is, if you analyze, you understand that world is mithya, not satya. Therefore, you don't depend on it. You use for your transactional purposes, but not depend on it for happiness. So when you know it's a chair made of cardboard, why do you go and sit on it? You sit on it, you will fall. So you know that it is a chair made of cardboard. Clearly knowing. So knowledge liberates you. Ignorance binds you. So when it is moksha, it is getting enlightened about the world and the Atma within. What is Satya and what is Mithya? Clearly knowing what we talked about from verse 11 to 25 in chapter 2 itself. Atma Anatma Viveka. When you are clear in your mind about, in your intellect about the difference between Atma and Anatma, spirit and matter. For example, in science, through science you know that there is no light coming from the moon. There is no light coming from the moon. Though we say moonlight. On a full moon night, you may not have switched on light in your garden. It's enough light and your eyes are showing as if the light is coming from the moon. But with intellect you know that it is the light of the sun reflected, not the light coming from the moon. Do you see? Similarly, when you transact in the world, when you are eating a chocolate, there is X amount of pleasure that is coming to you. Or any object. I'm just giving example of chocolate. But now what is happening is, you are not doing that analysis, and therefore you are thinking it is coming from the chocolate, and now your mind is attached to the chocolate. It's conditioned that you have to get it. If you don't get it, you suffer. That is bondage.
So that pleasure is coming from there.
We discussed this before also. I'll come to that. I'll explain. But before that, when you, like this moon example, when you are clear that the sunlight is what is reflected through the through the moon, similarly the happiness that is within is reflected through the object. So the happiness actually I am experiencing, the happiness that is coming from within, not from the chocolate, then I will not be dependent on the chocolate. Now what Vedanta says is, your mind is in a happy state or a calm state now. In that mind, the desire for an object pops up. The example is chocolate. Let's use the same example. The desire for the chocolate pops up. It is like in a plastic pool of water, somebody has thrown a pebble. So there's a ripple starts. So now that you have the desire for the chocolate, agitation starts. And the desire starts to intensify. Chocolate. Then you are in a terrible state of agitation. Then you eat the chocolate. When you eat the chocolate, the ripples, the agitation subside. Are you with me? So you are thinking that the chocolate gave you pleasure and subsided the ripples. But actually what is happening is, the very desire for the chocolate, the very desire for the chocolate created ripple in the mind, and the object chocolate removed the ripple. Then what remains is your erstwhile state of happiness. So you are experiencing the happiness from within. But just like how you get tricked when you see the moonlight, you think light is coming from the moon, you are experiencing that happiness when you contact the chocolate. Therefore you get tricked to believe that it is coming from chocolate. There is a person whom I know doesn't like sweets. Any form of sweet. I said, you are the most luckiest guy because you don't have to worry now. No, everybody keeps on saying sugar is bad. He doesn't like it. That's it. He's done as far as the sugar is concerned. So now, if the happiness was there in the chocolate, it should give happiness to him also. So there is no happiness to him coming from chocolate. You understand? So therefore, when the agitation ceases, you experience happiness. The agitation is ceased by the object, by the happiness you are experiencing from within. And that object will depend upon what desire you have. If you have desire for cigarette, chocolate will not give you happiness. Cigarette will give you happiness. So therefore we say there is no happiness in the object. So sattvic intellect is that it sees through the external perception. As a result, it understands the difference between satyam and mithyam. Right? When you boil the water is hot now. The heat in water, is it its natural quality or borrowed quality from the heat?
Borrowed.
But with reference to fire, would you say heat is borrowed or natural? So the happiness is what? Your natural state. Right? And it is borrowed in all these things. In the body, mind and intellect. This clarity he has. As a result, there is no bondage in his body, mind and intellect. As a result, there is no bondage with body, mind, intellect. It transacts. Transactional purpose is there.
Bondage is actually just taking you away from your natural state.
Of
the bondage is all the agitation, desire.
When your mind goes into the world outside, any object being for happiness, you fall into bondage. Mm-hmm. The thoughts coming.
Happiness or sorrow. Any emotion.
Huh?
Happiness or sorrow.
Sorrow is what? Desire?
That's what I'm saying. It's part of the object can get you happy or sorrow, but it's actually you are a happy person.
No, you are a happy person, but then you experience sorrow only when you are lacking happiness.
No, when the same ripple comes in.
The moment you have desire,
it's
a cause for sorrow.
It's a sorrow. So that's basically when you're happy, you're
in the desire is you become happy.
Yeah.
But you get tricked to believe that the object brought the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have clarity of thought, you will see there that the happiness came from within and not from the object.
Mm-hmm.
Then the attachment to the object goes. And once the attachment to the object goes, your bondage is gone. So there is no more.
So actually,
you won't have sorrow also.
All your bondage.
But then you won't have sorrow because if you rely on
that.
That's
not sorrow.
So bondage is sorrow, no? Bondage is sorrow. Actually, it's the reverse.
Yes.
So if it's any desire or any bondage is actually bringing you sorrow.
Then we hear it, we realize it. But why do we go back?
That is, I think.
See, look at it like this.
So you feel foolish.
Mind,
no?
Freedom is not. Freedom is not licentiously indulging in your desires. When you say freedom, it is freedom from desire.
Hmm.
Please understand. Desire is bondage. Desire is bondage. Now, what we think is freedom in the modern world is, if I can freely indulge in my desires, I am a very free person. I can do what I like. I can avoid doing what I dislike. Actually, freedom is doing what ought to be done. Not freely indulging in your desires. So desire is actually bondage. The moment you have a desire, it's bondage. So therefore he says,
but then if you are happy, you are in a happy state of mind, then why do you get this desire? If that, like,
that's the mind.
The desire of having a chocolate ice cream, whatever. So, but you are in a happy state and then you get this desire. So why do you get this desire if you are in a happy state?
See, the nature of the mind is to move out, right? Extroverted. And as long as you are not rooted in the knowledge, the mind will go out. Once you are rooted in the knowledge, it doesn't go out. It doesn't go out to a jnani. It only goes out to a jnani. It's not as though it is going to everybody. A jnani goes. To a jnani, it doesn't go. Does it go? Huh? The child's mind is going up to toys. Does your mind go up to the toys? Yes, it does. But different kind of toys. Name, fame, power, position. For the child, the toy world with which he plays, the mind runs. But as far as you are concerned, it doesn't go. Yes or no? So your question is, where does the mind go? Yeah, you are still a child. You just take the example of a child. Where is the child's mind going to the toys? Because it's a child. Where your mind doesn't go? Because you know that it is time. Suppose in, at your age you ask for those toys. Then everybody says, be serious. What's going on? What's wrong with you? So you know. In the case of child, doesn't know. In your case, you know. Similarly, when you know the truth about the object, the mind doesn't go. When you're ignorant, it goes. When you truly analyze and you're clear about the object, will it go? It won't. You see, chocolate coated quinine tablet. Okay. And you think it's chocolate and then you eat it. Now initially it's nice. But then slowly that bitter taste is coming. Then you spit out. Come on. You went by perception. Isn't it? But if you pause and analyze and see through, then you say, oh no, this is a quinine tablet coated with sugar, chocolate. Then you won't touch it. So when you know you don't get bound, knowledge frees you. So why does the mind run? When the intellect is not backing the mind, it runs. So that's why before you run, you better pause and think. A person who pauses and thinks never gets into any bondage. When you consciously drive your car, will you meet with accident? Other fellow can come and bang from behind, that's a different thing. Even there, when you are so conscious, you know that one fellow is coming behind you very closely. You will accordingly drive your car. And Swamiji always says, you know, a good driver is one who is aware of all the bad drivers on the road. You avoid them. The driver is very impatiently trying to, you know, overtake and come so close, you know that, you see it in the mirror. And you accordingly, you drive your car little away from him. So the more aware you become, the less bound you will be. You remember my favorite example? As I'm talking to you, I can play with my mala and make knots out of it. But if I want to remove the knots, can I remove the knots without focusing? I have to bring my attention on the mala, then only I can remove the knots. You understand? Freedom comes with focusing, with the discipline. Bondage comes with no discipline. Simply rush. Then you get bound. So you see, it shows what is freedom, what is bondage. So choice to contact or not, then you are free. Your mind is dictating terms to you, and mind is craving for a particular object. Do you really have a choice to not to contact? You're not free, isn't it? Oh, I do whatever I like. I'm a very free person. I do whatever I like. Are you really free? When you have a choice not to go along with your mind, then you are free.
Handle it.
parents who think it is a Brahma, they go berserk, isn't it? That's what he's saying. They are confused. They are wrongly understanding Dharma and Adharma. They wrongly understand as to what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. Fulfill my desires. My dharma is to rise above the desires. My dharma is my essential self, and my dharma is to do actions that will take me to the self. Wrongly understand that my dharma is to fulfill my desires. No. Your dharma as a spouse is to do what is good for the other spouse, not what is pleasing. Your dharma is to point out the mistakes of a friend. Isn't it? But as the fellow may think, if I do that, he will get upset. So I think they should not. That's how as the fellow knows. Pleasing all the time. Any action that makes me go far away from the self is a dharma. Any action that takes me closer to the self is dharma. Or else the person will misunderstand this. That is why, while following his obligation, rather than trying to rise above the desires, he spends all his life in fulfilling the desires. What is the very purpose of action? Is to rise above the desires, not to multiply. You see, follow goes on multiplying. Understands that love means there has to be expression. Not necessarily. In fact, the deeper the love, lesser the expression. I'll put it the other way. The grosser the expressions, you know, too much of expressions, many times it is just shallow. Deeply you feel, there are no emotions. So the intellect which understands wrongly dharma and adharma, like Arjuna misunderstood. That is, dharma is to not harm the good people. But Krishna explained to him, you are actually siding adharma. Few people like Bhishma, Drona, they are good people. Arjuna didn't want to harm them. He thought that is his dharma. He is being adharmic if he harms them. But Krishna said that is not dharma. Your dharma is to be a kshatriya, doing what ought to be done. Even though individually one or two people may be good, you are not supposed to take sides. You are supposed to be doing what ought to be done in the interest of the poor. So he was confused about what is dharma and adharma. Arjuna. It happens to many of us. And why this misunderstanding comes? Because his vision is blurred by desires. Many times in India also you see, let it go, follow you. His family will suffer, this will suffer, that will suffer. Just become emotional. Rather than seeing what is a good thing for that person. So, rajas goes more with pleasing. Sattva goes more with good, the right thing.
Rajas forgiving something
good?
What? Rajas forgiving something good?
Forgiving is sattvic. Obviously, if you talk about the quality of forgiveness, it's sattvic.
Let me give an example. That is why in India we use the word as being, as family, or somehow whatever. And you forgive them.
That is not forgiving, that is because of weak pity they do. Forgiving is weak pity. Forgiving is a sattvic quality.
Would you like if it's good for him to punish him? That could be a sattvic person.
Pardon?
Actually punish him for his deed.
First of all, the word punishing, even in the country you have this punitive self and all that for rehabilitation purpose. To get the person on the track. You understand? Why should, in fact, as the society progresses more and more and evolves more and more, the discussion will be about getting rid of what is that point? Hanging, those kind of things. As the society evolves, isn't it? Why would you want to hang anybody? So, what was the reason to deter the person from deserving the total? And getting him in line with the total. The small circle should abide the larger circle. That's the idea. So therefore, when you use the word punishing, the sattvic person is not seeking to punish anybody. He understands that if he sees his job, let's say he's the judge or whoever, police officer, whatever, he is only doing it to get the smaller circle abide with the bigger circle.
No, like, say, a normal person, you say, catch hold of somebody, somebody doing something wrong. You feel, let him be, his family will suffer, for example, you say. As against, you're saying a sattvic person will punish him, and punish him in whatever way, reprimand him, punish him,
do the action without any prejudice or judgment about him. Do the right thing so that the person gets out. See, when the priest in Victor Hugo's play, Les Misérables, when he tells the police officers, when he had stolen the plate from his house, silver plate, he tells the police officer, no, I gave it to him. That's forgiving. You understand? The priest has brought about a change of heart in the so-called saint, he, as a result, and then he says, gives him two more candle stands made of gold and says, son, life is to give, not to take. That's first, that is forgiving. You understand? Vichara Chodhya, okay, job. You have to handle that with a sense of feeling of love. You understand? Giving at the mental level, that is forgiving. Forgiving is not just letting him go scot-free without bringing about any change of heart in that person. That's not forgiving.
Forgiving also depends on how the other person has reacted in response to on what their action is coming.
That's what I'm saying. Giving him an opportunity to realize his mistake and change. That is forgiving. Here it is not that. It is just like, yeah, I'm going to have a little trouble.
Then of course you explain to him.
I just call that out of pity. That also is pretty. You're explaining to the man what you've done. This pity that I'm talking about. Where you call it as forgiving has not done because of I can't stand the repercussions that the person has to go through. Sometimes, you know, to purify the gold, they put it in fire. So you might have to do that. That is the strength. But here, no, poor fellow, what is this number? Sure. You have not purified him or not. I can't stand him. I can't stand seeing him being in fire. Therefore I let go. And that's not for me. That is a weakness. Let's continue.
Next week is Rakhi.